Hello, my name is Dean Kilberg. I'm the alderman from the 3rd Ward, and I'll be chairing this evening's Committee of the Whole meeting. I'd like to welcome everyone, and I'd like to call the meeting to order. As far as attendance, it looks like we have everyone present except Alderman Dantino, who has called in ill. Consideration of the consent agenda. We just have the one item. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Marks, seconded by Flanagan. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Item four under business for this evening, item A, we have recommend draft resolution authorizing purchase of replacement membranes for wastewater treatment plant in an amount not to exceed $30,800 from Peterson and Matz. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Moved by Vogelsberg, seconded by Hill. We have with us tonight Mr. Van Gesken, and he's the superintendent of water and wastewater, and he's prepared to answer any questions that the council might have.
I thought I would start out tonight. This kind of gave me a really good opportunity to explain to you some of the goings on down at the wastewater plant. I know when I talk about membrane diffusers, you probably go, what's that? So what I wanted to do, a little show and tell, is tonight, this is one of the membranes that would go into the tank. If I will pass this around, if you just stretch it just a little bit on the end, you will see the pores that are in there. So when I speak about it, you'll have an idea of what's going on. And then next, I just wanted to show you a little clip of a video describing what is happening at the plant. Nothing major, but this will just give you a good idea of what's going on. What we want to see in the plant with those diffusers, you can see that the air should travel through those pores and distribute the air equally. And what I'm about to show you is where what we're finding is that just because of the age, we need to replace them, and so you'll get holes and rips in there just due to age. We need to replace them. So the large hole or the large bubbles that you're seeing right there that are going up is an indication, and we've got several indications of this. Down lower of the screen is another, just where you can see that the we've got a rip or a tear in those areas, and it's just not performing as it should, so we need to replace those. What we should be seeing is more of a consistent diffuser with the air, and I'll show this will come over here to the right a little bit. So what you should be seeing is more of this action in this area. You don't have those large holes, so that is what we're looking to do is replace those and to make it more efficient. So I mentioned in my memorandum that we want to do this in three phases to be able to control what we put out into the river, so we're still in compliance. So it will take some engineering to do so, but not cost. As far as engineering goes, we will do that internally. But phase one will be down here in the lower, older tanks. Phase two will complete up in this area, and phase three is the phase two portion of the wastewater treatment expansion. So from there, I'll take any questions.
I know that there's 780 that would need to be replaced.
Correct.
And that the life expectancy is about 5 to 7 years. Is that about how long these have been in place, or they've been in?
Actually, longer.
Okay.
We should have replaced them maybe another, year or two early, but
And what is the length of one of those filters?
The diffuser here is only, this one's 3 feet long, and the ones that we're going to be putting in place are twice as
about
long.
About 6 feet.
6 feet.
Okay.
That's correct. So
good.
Just gives you a good idea of what we're doing down there. So
good. Any questions from any of the aldermen? Mr. Brown.
Thank you. Is this the sort of thing you have to wait for the right season, because you have to actually drain a tank, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're looking to do this not only in low flow season, but also to once we get with our permit to where we don't have to comply with certain regulations with the UV that allows us UV disinfection at the end. It allows us more flexibility in what we can do and transfer things within the plant so we can do this. So
it's not the sort of thing you can replace one at a time.
No, no, not at all. The tank will have to be completely taken out. And Dan Dobnik at the wastewater plant has figured out a very good way to do this to stay in compliance and to be able to effectively and efficiently replace these. So,
what is your low flow season?
Low flow is usually in the winter months, but the way it's been this summer, it would have been timely if we could have done it, you know, during this drought season. So, but only have so much manpower and so many things we can get done. So,
okay. Thank you.
Alderman Flanagan.
So you intend to start this in the winter season?
No, it'll be done late fall.
As soon as
we can get the membranes ordered and get those in. So we'll be starting right away.
Any other questions? Alderman Singer.
Yes, thank you. Robert, you're not to exceed that $30,800 figure, which essentially means it's possible that it'll cost less than that.
I don't think it's going to cost less. This includes everything, the membranes themselves, the clamps, and everything. So I don't, as far as the what I've presented to you in the packet, it will not exceed that amount. I suppose it's possible that if we find some that are in really, really good shape, we may leave them, so it may cost a little bit less, but really if we're in there, we might as well replace them. They're at an age to where it would be inefficient for us to not replace them.
Your staff is going to be responsible for replacing these?
Correct. We did get a quote for a outside agency to replace these, and instead of the $30,000 price tag, it would have been $84,000.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Simple question. We're nowhere near exceeding any limits at the moment, are we?
With no, not at all. We're well below limits, and we're also, thankfully, because of the drought season, we've been at half of our capacity.
Well, it's not good for people who have gardens, but...
Okay, any other questions? Anyone in the audience that would like to field a question?
Thank you.
Thank you. If not, I take it we're prepared to vote. Please read the roll.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Donald Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
The carries. Item B, recommend draft resolution authorizing intergovernmental agreement between the City of Geneva and the City of West Chicago for Couts Road maintenance, repair, and rehabilitation. Is there a motion?
Motion approval.
Moved by Hill, seconded by Martz. Discussion. Any questions? Anyone in the audience would like to... field any questions as it relates to the intergovernmental agreement for Couts Road maintenance, repair, and rehabilitation. This is a topic that the City of Geneva has had discussions with West Chicago on for about the last year. Would the mayor or Mary have anything that they'd like to add to provide some additional information here?
The only thing I think that I would like to add is this is particular document is in relationship to the following document on the agenda. They relate to each other, you know, perhaps I can explain more when we get to the next item. But this is an agreement with West Chicago to basically take over maintenance of Couts Road north of Route 38 up to the city limits, up to where Division Street extended would be.
Okay. Alderman Hill.
And I have a question. Mary, where does Division Street come across Couts? I travel Couts quite often.
No, it's where I call it Division Street extended. If you were to bring it straight across at
before the railroad track,
north of the
north.
It's north of those tracks. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Good. Yeah. Good.
Thank you, Mr. Dengis. Did you have something you wanted to add?
If you're familiar with the Weber Farm. It's the north property line of the Weber Farm. Or if you're familiar with the St. Charles Park District fields that they did, it's the south end of that. That's where Division comes across. So if you, there's a farmhouse just north of Geneva Drive. It's at the north side of that.
That's if you're on Kirk, you see where
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can, on Couts Road, you would drive driving north on Couts, you pass Geneva Drive, and then there's the tracks are south of Geneva Drive, so you'll hit Geneva Drive, then you'll see the farmhouse, and then it's just north of there. You can, if you look when you're driving there, you can kind of see where it is. Two-laner, right?
I would estimate it's probably somewhere between a quarter and a half a mile north of the railroad tracks. The total section of roadway is 1.12 miles that we're talking about.
Right.
You're talking about the
tracks
of the commuter railroad, right?
Spurs.
Well, there's yeah, there's a spur that goes to Millard.
Yeah.
Well, Millard and Power Packaging.
Yeah. Okay.
That spur, I think, is what everybody was talking about. That's okay. What I was referring to.
Okay. Because there's another set of tracks that if you're going too fast, you're gonna.
Yes.
Further north.
Yes,
that
way north.
It's south of that one.
Yeah, okay.
South of International Drive.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, I take it we're... I'm sorry. Alderman Singer?
Thank you. Mary, I take it that West Chicago is in the midst of going through this process at this point in time as well?
Yes.
This evening?
Yes, they have a meeting this evening, a committee meeting this evening as well.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
If there are no further questions, I take we're prepared to vote. If you'd please read the roll.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Donald Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Tom Vogelsberg.
Aye.
It carries. Item C on the agenda is related. This would recommend draft resolution amending and restating intergovernmental agreement providing for a jurisdictional boundary line between the cities of Geneva and West Chicago. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mark, seconded by
Maladra.
Okay. Alderman Maladra. Discussion. Alderman Hill.
Yeah, I've got a question. Is that thing on? Yeah.
Yes.
What about the area north of this imaginary Division Street? Is that in St. Charles Township?
Yes.
Or West Chicago?
It's in West Chicago, but I believe it's St. Charles Township as well.
Because there's a Welcome to the City of West Chicago sign
as
you're headed southbound. I'm trying to orient myself and all this because I travel it at least once a week and more than that. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I may,
go
just
ahead.
For clarification, as I had referenced at the prior item on the agenda that these two were related, the reason being is that the prior item is an exhibit in this item. This item specifically for the benefit of the audience, moves the planning boundary line, which allows the city of Geneva to annex an additional 60 acres than what we have in the current boundary agreement, in short.
And developable acres.
Correct.
Any questions, Alderman Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The map that's shown in our packet mm-hmm. has the line extending all the way from Division Street all the way down to Fabian Parkway. And along Couse Road, it seems to show the line on the west side of the road instead of the east side of the road, which is what we just approved. The boundary line is on which side of the road?
The boundary line is, I believe, on, well, there is no road south of Route 38.
No, no, but north, between Route 38 north to Division Street extended. It shows a boundary line that appears to sit on the west side of the road.
That's correct. It does, and that's what the inner, that's what
the roadway,
the inner, or the IGA that we just approved is basically saying that we have jurisdiction.
Over the road?
Over the roadway, yes.
Even though it's in West Chicago, according to the boundary line?
Correct.
Okay.
But south of Route 38, which is what this current item is to deal with.
But, okay, so is the roadway in DuPage County or in Kane County?
The roadway is in DuPage County, technically, but under the IGA, we have jurisdiction.
So we are the last community that's finally expanded into DuPage County in our jurisdiction over the road.
Well,
only through a site agreement for maintenance purposes.
Right.
Yeah, I understand.
Right.
The land still
for a long
falls.
Time we were proud. We were the only community right. that hadn't extended into DuPage, but we now have a finger in the middle of the road.
Well, we won't be developing anything on the road, so.
Okay. All right. So I was a little confused there, but. But the boundary is actually the way I remembered that the Couch does not follow the boundary. It's on one side of the road. So, but the new boundary will be right down the county line.
County line.
Correct. Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
This is, I think, an important element as it relates to the further development of the southeast quadrant, or that's southeast portion of Geneva. Mm-hmm. And these discussions have been in the works with the city of West Chicago for some time, and this is an important step in moving forward as it relates to some potential developers that have been looking at this area, and if we can get this accomplished, it might lead to some growth and development in the city over a period of time. Any questions from the audience on this item?
Mr. Singer has a question.
I'm sorry. Alderman Singer?
I just want Mary to clarify the fact to the audience as well as many others that are watching that there's no exchange of funds here or monies involved.
No.
That's to be understood, yes.
There is not. However, we are taking on maintenance responsibility of a section, the 1.12 miles of Couts to the north of Route 38.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay.
Mary, just one question. Sorry, I didn't get to this earlier because it just came to mind. Is this new area now that we can annex, is that covered by the Geneva or the West Chicago Fire Department? We know? Or will it fall into other?
When it is annexed into
it will
the
become,
city.
But right now it's covered by West Chicago or?
Right now,
sorry, I should have.
I think the short answer is it's through mutual aid.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. I'm not sure. That might be in a district.
Right, I think
okay.
it is.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Because outside of our city limits,
right.
if it's
not
in
until
township,
we annex it, will it fall into
it? Right,
that's
then we
really
cover
the
it
question.
Through our
okay.
district.
That's fine.
But there's no buildings.
No, it just would be a grass fire from the railroad.
Yeah. Oh, there are buildings in this area.
Sure.
To the south.
Yeah.
The south? There are on Fabian.
Mm-hmm. The Bork property and stuff.
And there's a beautiful home right in the middle of the forest there.
That's true.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? If not, I take we're prepared to vote. If you'd please read the roll.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Donald Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Tom Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Okay. The item D on the agenda, draft resolution authorizing the city administrator to execute contract with Skike. Is that correct?
Sikich.
Sikich, excuse me. In an amount not to exceed $29,756 for the strategic plan update project. Is there a motion to approve?
So
moved by Maladra, seconded by Hill, I believe.
So they're no longer Sikich Gardner.
That's correct?
Correct.
Interesting.
Any other questions as it relates to the strategic plan update? We have with us this evening Mr. Kuhn from this firm, and would be prepared to field any questions that the council might have or the public, I believe. If you want to come forward, if there's anything that you'd like to state, you're more than welcome to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and council members, and Ms. McKittrick. We appreciate your review of the proposals, and we're looking forward, based on your concurrence, to work with the city on your strategic plan update. I started my career in the city manager track, made a change, and it's literally strategic planning that made me step back and see how powerful this is as a decision-making tool. So you don't want me to stand here too long. I can do 15 weeks in a class on strategic planning if you like. I don't think you're quite ready for note-taking tonight, but I guess I would share just a couple of things as you consider this. Had the opportunity to work with a variety of communities, counties, and school districts on their strategic plans. And updating a plan indicates to me, and I've had a chance to work on a few of these, that you have a good, healthy approach to this, that it's part of what you do, and I would only applaud you for that. I'll give you just a couple of things to think about why I feel it's so powerful and necessary. Strategic planning as an elected body, as a community, is really leadership's expression of the future. And it's such a critical role that you play. And I've talked to a lot of elected officials, and, you know, you can hire people to do anything you want, change the membranes at the water treatment plant. If you want every street in Geneva to be painted purple for a week, or whatever it might be, as long as you have the wherewithal and the decision-making to do that, you can delegate that to whoever you might feel is appropriate to get the work done. But there's one thing you can't delegate, and that is setting the course for the city. So this process is taking information, you know, it's thinking, it's listening, it's visioning, it's identifying goals, prioritizing, and eventually acting. I really believe in it, and we appreciate the opportunity to work with you and the staff and the community if you think that our proposal meets your needs. Thanks.
I believe we have a few questions. Alderman Flanagan.
How long will you extend it out to then? Our current one is 2017, so is it going to go to 2020, 2025?
Well, I would say that's something to be determined in our conversations as we get started. You know, in my approach, the community needs to do both short and long-term planning.
Okay.
There are items that you need to address, and in the government world, short-term is 2 years, two budget cycles. That's pretty quick in our world. If you haven't planned for it in this budget already, it's too late. You have to plan for it next time. Long-term is that fuzzy, you know, line out there, and I typically try to tell folks, visioning, you know, we want to look 20, 25 years out. But in terms of establishing goals and things you want to act on, I'm more in the 7 to 10-year range. But that's an element that, you know, we work with each group on kind of identifying. But those are my general parameters.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see by the time frame you have listed here that it's going to end up projecting a finish for what you do just about May 1st, the beginning of our new fiscal year.
Right.
So presumably we will get into public hearings and meetings on this in the next fiscal year after May 1st.
Right. Well, but there'll be discussions
before that
as we go on. Mm-hmm. But in terms of because toward the end of the process, we have some action planning to do, but well before that point, we will have held the listening, we will have worked on a workshop and retreat with the council, and then from there, turning it over to some action planning with the staff. So, yes, it does, you know, by the time you get to the end, it does extend out into the spring. But there's going to be a lot of information shared prior to that.
So the final action will be sometime in the late spring in the new fiscal year, but it will be well in advance of starting to plan for the next budget cycle.
Yes, some of the key items will...
Taking us a further year into...
Yeah. No, some of the items will clearly be, you know, expressed and something you'll be aware of prior to that.
Maybe you could comment a little bit on your background and the expertise of your firm as it relates to strategic planning for municipalities specifically.
Yes. I've been doing strategic planning. I'm head of the government consulting division at Sikich, and Sikich, as someone commented, Sikich and Gardner. Yes, the name of the firm has been shortened, mainly because of this day and age. It seems the shorter we make it, the easier it is for people to identify. But I've been doing strategic planning now, I guess, probably well into 12 to 15 years of my career. It is the thing that motivated me to change directions from sitting in the chair Mary's in to going back to school, working on my doctorate, and then working with communities, et cetera. At this point, strategic planning engagements, I'd say some communities have been multiple times, well into 30, 35, or 40 engagements, something of that nature. Some have been as simple as goal setting, you know, sitting down doing a weekend or a one-day retreat with communities. Others are more involved, like this process, and I did a couple like this where we use focus group input in 3 or 4 communities, 1 park district, and a high school district where we did almost 7 months of listening, 6 or 7 months of listening. Two campuses, faculty, students, business community, et cetera, et cetera. So the process can be tailored, you know, to what an organization, I guess, both desires and has the ability to consume. But, you know, the process that you've done previously and that we're aware of and that we're proposing to continue to build on is something that's a little more elaborate and, I would say, a little more methodical than simply, you know, getting folks together on a Saturday. But I'm going to make a small commercial, is that I feel if an organization, that's the choice and the only time they can devote to it, I'm going to encourage them to do it rather than do nothing at all. So,
now, I would assume that at some point in time in this process, the community would be involved and there would be representatives that would be interviewed and mm-hmm. there'd be focus groups. And
absolutely.
I had a chance to participate in one of these exercises probably about 7 or 8 years ago, and it's interesting, and I think it's certainly beneficial, and I think everything you said tonight makes a lot of sense except painting our streets purple. Now, that might work in Evanston, but probably not in Geneva.
Yeah.
I'm sure that Alderman Hill would probably be opposed to that.
All right. Well, I'll defer to you on that. That's why we elect folks, right, to make those decisions.
That's right.
You know, part of the process that was identified and requested by the city in the outline was to continue to do that listening. And we've got a couple of options we've identified on how to do that. And I'm a big believer. I think listening is important, provided you have an idea what you want to do with the data you collect. So,
any other questions? Anyone in the audience that would like to field a question? If not, I take it that...
For the benefit of the audience, this is a not-to-exceed sum we're approving.
That's correct. We're looking at an estimate of $29,756. I assume that we have a budget of $30,000 for this undertaking. And
but the amount we're approving is the $29,756, not to exceed.
Not to exceed.
Thank you.
Okay. Would you please read the roll? Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Donald Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Okay, Okay, that brings us to item five, new business. Is there anything that anyone would like to bring before the council at this time? Alderman Singer?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to congratulate the Geneva Chamber of Commerce and all its volunteers that engaged in a marvelous weekend of activities with the Festival of Vines. It was just really, really a well-organized commitment by the chamber, and it was very, very well attended. I went two nights. I would like to have gone Sunday, but I decided to watch the Bears instead, which was pleasurable as well. But they did really well, and it was the weather was just excellent. And I saw people out enjoying themselves, had conversations with people, and sitting down, and they just marveled about our community and had great things to say about the city of Geneva, and it was very exciting. So it was a pleasurable weekend. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any particular sampling that you prefer?
I'm Jen Hole.
Okay.
egg rolls.
That's right. No, it was an outstanding event, some great weather, and everyone I visited with said it was probably one of our larger crowds ever. Anyone else? New business? Yes.
Is it time for us?
Yes, this is your opportunity if you'd have, if you wanted to come to the podium and introduce yourself.
Thank you. I'm Chris Alder. I'm at 380 Colonial Circle. I have a cadre of comrades here backing me up.
Great.
Here, all from our neighborhood.
Welcome.
Thank you. And I'd like to talk about an issue that's affected our neighborhood in the last month or so. Give you some background. This has to do with box elder bugs. So we're going to spend a little bit of time in entomology, I think, is the right thing. Residents next to us at 378 Colonial went vacant a little over a month ago and is up for sale right now. Fannie Mae is currently the title holder, I believe, of that. In the backyard of that residence is a box elder tree, which when left unattended lets a whole bunch of box elders do what they're going to do. Typically, I've been living in Geneva now since 99, and the house, I believe, has always been occupied, or at least during this time of the year. And all of this has always been under control, not completely eliminated, but certainly in a livable situation. This year, it's different because the residence has been empty. And the last 3 to 4 weeks, myself and the directly adjoining neighbors and even some of the neighbors that are not where the property is not directly adjoining have been unable to use their property, our property, for its intended use. I've got a backyard, I got a deck, I got a pool, we have parties, barbecues, things like that. We can't even use our property for its intended purpose. Not because there are hundreds of these bugs, but there are thousands and thousands and thousands. I'm not really techie, but we have some pictures in a computer that my wife brought along if you want to see some of them. Maybe she can come up and pass it around, or I don't know how to do all of this stuff. I don't even have a computer on my desk at work, so it's
Chris, why don't you have a pool party? I'll come over.
Well, I'll tell you what. We had a pool party scheduled 2 weeks ago and had to cancel it. And we rescheduled it for this past Saturday. And yeah, this is an aside, and I don't want to take a tremendous amount of time. And we decided, no, we're going to see if we can actually make this work. And we went out and kind of flooded our backyard, flooded our front yard, flooded everything, trying to knock the bugs down long enough to have these people over that we were going to have over. And they came over, and we kind of muddled our way through it. Nobody went outside. Nobody could go outside. I did do a quick barbecue out in whatever. They left around 6 or 7 o'clock. I went out to clean our grill and bring in all of the stuff. And as I opened the back door from my mudroom to my deck, literally hundreds, 200, 300, 400 of these bugs fell off of the, I don't know what you call that thing, the sill for the bottom of the door, into my house. Alive bugs, 200, 300 of them that fly and crawl and do all kinds of fun stuff. We've already cleaned our shed, that's it, out once, but these things lay eggs. So every soft material that you have there, you can't hose it down. If you can't throw it in the washer, you got to kind of throw it away or wait for them to hatch and start this whole breeding cycle all over again. So it's been not a good situation in the least. I would like to thank Alderman Singer for helping out in this process. He's been a great resource and good to deal with, and I've known him for a year, so thank you for that. We've been working with the realtor. As Fannie Mae owns the property, we don't have a direct line to whoever it is that's in charge of 378 Colonial, and we're going through the realtor. But it's been slow. And initially, the response from the realtor has been, okay, whatever. Not our problem. The house is for sale as soon as it's sold. Deal with the new owners. Ultimately, last Friday, the latest development was last Friday. We got my wife went around, passed out a bunch of flyers. We've talked to the neighbors. Neighbors have talked to neighbors. We started calling City Hall. We started calling our aldermen. We started calling the realtor on a daily, hourly, minutely basis, trying to be the biggest pain in the butt that we could possibly be, because our property is unusable. I mean, there's nothing you can do. My garage is full of these things. It's ridiculous. Last Friday, the latest development was that the realtor said, government's moving. Fannie Mae has agreed to take down the tree, and when the tree goes, the bugs apparently go, with one exception. The day they take down the tree, the bugs all scatter, so wherever they land, they land. I don't know enough about bug life and whatever, but there are concerns. The usability is one. The second is when you get bugs into the thousands and tens of thousands, they do things. They die. Their bodies have to rot. They eat, and when they eat, they do other things. That has to go somewhere. Right now, they're living in my eaves, and they're living under my siding, and they're living on my deck, and they're living under my deck, and they're in my pool, and they're in my shed, and they're in my attic. They're everywhere. What happens to all of this stuff? I posed that question to the realtor because why not? I knew what the answer would be, huh? But it's a real concern. What do we do with this stuff? I'm currently being treated and for allergies to insects and things like that. They actually inject me with insect stuff and try and build up my resistance to it. But there's whole health issues that potentially could be associated with this. And as it goes forward, just usability. And all of my neighbors pretty much face the same thing. So we're sitting there, and I had actually gotten so frustrated that about the middle of last week I called an attorney I know, and unfortunately he's in Israel for the next 6 weeks. But I was going to go after injunctive relief and see if we can do something about it. But even that, it begins as a bad process. You're already antagonistic at the minute you go to court. I asked one of our aldermen, if there was any city ordinances for health, for safety, for property usability that would be able to be enforced at this point. And he's indicated that is not the case. He checked with the city code enforcement officer, Jim Corey?
Forney,
thank you. And there are currently no things on the books, no codes on the books that we could actually go and get relief from that. Much faster process. You can go write him a ticket. You can go do whatever. I know, in some cases, you guys go, you send a letter, you say, we're going to cut your grass, we send you a bill. I mean, it's done. Boom. There's really not a lot of discussion. If you go to court, there's all kinds of stays and things. And in the meantime, bugs are burrowing farther and making your house more and more unusable, and it just continues to escalate. Currently, the city, as I know, or I think I know, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, deals with issues with noise with neighbors, and they deal with issues of parking on the sidewalks at night with whatever, long grass, as I indicated earlier, building permits, fence permits, all with the idea, I would believe, and you can correct me again, of that we expect a certain lifestyle in Geneva. And we are also at the same time attempting to maintain property values and maintain the feel, what the feel of Geneva is and what the feel of Geneva is supposed to be. And those are all good. But they're all issues with the looks of Geneva, not the usability of what the neighborhood is. And I don't know that there are any codes on our books or ordinances, whatever, laws that deal with quality of life issues. But when a neighbor infringes on the ability of another neighbor then to do something with his property or her property, as it were, and be able to enjoy their life and what is supposed to be Geneva life, I would feel that there would be hopefully some type of relief that we could go through so that we can use our property as it's intended to use. And I don't know what that means. When you start talking about restricting personal property rights, it's a slippery slope. But at the moment, one residence right now is affecting at least a half a dozen, maybe a dozen residences at the same time. And we have nowhere to go. If it takes Fannie Mae another 2 or 3 weeks to go through the contracting process and removal process and whatever, and I have to deal with and the rest of our neighbors have to deal with this for the next, we've lost half a summer of use of our property the way it was intended to do and what we had expected when we moved to the city of Geneva. So I'm looking for the people who understand how the laws work and how to put them all together, some type of answer that says that, that as a resident of Geneva, we can expect or create an ordinance, a law, something that would allow for speedier action on maintaining our quality of life in Geneva without, or I shouldn't say without, but with minimal intrusion on all property rights owners, not just the ones that are being affected. I mean, everybody's got, should have expectations of what they have coming to Geneva and living in Geneva. But right now we're looking at 7-8 weeks plus the additional, and this is where it gets very frustrating. If somebody violates noise ordinance in Geneva, you know, we dial 911, the police come over, they say turn it down. If they don't turn it down, they haul them off to jail and beat them or whatever you guys do, I don't know. In this case, even if this drags on another 3 or 4 weeks and the tree gets ultimately torn down and hauled away, we still haven't addressed the cleanup issue. We haven't addressed the issue of maintaining the amount of time right now that the surrounding homes are spending just trying to knock down the bugs enough to keep them from overwhelming our houses. So we're spending hours every day. We're investing money in water or soap or whatever those nasty chemicals are that we're using. My pool is running much harder. I'm going through pumps, filters, whatever, all of that stuff. I can't even use the property. So there are some intrinsic costs that are associated with this that are being imposed on me and the surrounding neighbors, all because of what one resident or residents is affecting us. So what I'm asking for, looking for, is some type of answer, and I'm saying you're probably not going to have it tonight, I'm guessing, Alderman Singer, but some type of answer that says we can actually maintain a quality of life or get back to some quality of life that takes less than 6 to 8 weeks to do so that we can do that. And I think we have some other people who would like to speak. I don't know if you have specific questions.
Well, let's let them all speak first, Alderman Brown, unless you had a question specifically of Mr. Alder.
I will answer.
Go ahead. Ask your question if it's to Mr. Alder.
Chemicals? I mean, how did the people before keep this under control? Do you know, did they spray their tree yearly? Or
they were
soapy water.
Soapy water. Soapy water. They're the smarter people on this.
Every year. You just spray it with soapy water and it does bring down, but you have to spray the actual bug at the time.
Oh, you don't treat the tree.
You don't treat the tree.
No,
And our neighbor had taken care of it. He had actually done it. We'd seen them every year. You know, you get 100, you get 200 of them or whatever. But
it's Fannie Mae who's not the good neighbor.
Right.
Yeah, I'm shocked too.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr.
Go ahead.
Yes. If you'd like to speak, if you please come forward and introduce yourself.
Good evening. My name is Jim McCann. I live at 376 Colonial Circle. Mr. Alder there happens to be the southernmost neighbor. I'm the northernmost with the tree right next to my property line. I've lived in this home since 1991, first and only property owner. And as was indicated prior, this has been an ongoing problem since the home was first built. Box elder trees are basically old field trees. We were on a field line when our subdivision was built. The trees were left by the builder. So long as you take care of these in certain times of the year, so you have to get them right when they come out basically to mate. You can see them. They basically tie up end to end, and you spray them. And when the hatchlings come out, they're very small little red beads, and you spray those and you kill them. Not going to get them all, but you get most of them to a point where you can control them. Because nobody's been doing that in the property next door, I mean, these are all over. It's private property. We can't really go over there and kill their bugs, nor do I want to. But it's something that you can semi-keep under control. One thing I do have to mention, though, is this time of year, as temperatures get cool, they go underground. Box elder bugs like two things. They like heat. They like light. So, for example, in the summer, if you have a lighthouse, they will get on your siding, and they follow the sun. So, for example, the south side of my house in the afternoon gets sun. It's full of box elder bugs. The west side gets the sun. As the sun goes down, the day progresses, my deck is full of box elder bugs. The past holiday, we had, I don't know, 12 people over, I guess, for a barbecue. My youngest daughter, new grandkid, was in for the holiday. All the relatives came over. Couldn't use the deck. Too many bugs. I mean, they were literally all over the place. I'm sure there is an ordinance against this, but I had to haul my grill around. I barbecued in my garage.
If that's safe.
Thank goodness the fire chief's not here.
Yeah.
But the backyard isn't usable. The grass is loaded. There's a fence between our two properties. The fence is literally covered, which you see in some of the pictures. Those pictures were nothing, by the way. It was taken as it is getting cooler. I think the biggest issue, at least as I see it, is not only the tree, but it may be that we don't have an ordinance to address unoccupied property. This is a foreclosed home. There's nobody living there. Fannie Mae owns it. As far as I know, there's a second-party company that's handling this.
Is that the real estate firm, sir?
No, there's another firm, I believe, and then a real estate firm on top of that.
We do actually have ordinances on the books that address vacant homes and vacant property.
Say
that
again. Isn't there a holding company, Fannie Mae? Then you have the holding company and then the realtor.
I don't believe there's a holding company, but I could be wrong.
My question is to Mr. McMahon and Mr. Alder, Mr. and Mrs. Alder, is and forgive me for putting the real estate company on the spot, but it's unforgivable that they would not maintain property they're trying to sell and profit from. What is the real estate company?
We have the name of it here.
We have the name of it.
Fire it off, because...
You have it?
Because Mr. Singer and I will contact the Fox Valley...
Keller Williams Fox Valley.
Well, consider it. We're going to call them tomorrow, and we're going to call the Fox Valley Real Estate Council, which is located in Geneva, just down the street from you. They represent all realtors throughout the Fox Valley. And Mr. Singer and I will call them tomorrow, and I can certainly touch base with whomever. That's good God.
But I can also tell you the property had been under a little duress maybe for a year or two. The prior family that was there was having some financial problems. So there is rotting wood on the pillars at the front porch. There's a big hole, literally, underneath the window in their family room in the back. I can't even imagine what the inside of that home looks like right now with what I have to take care of in my home. And I went out and bought a dustbuster before the relatives and everything came because I got tired of trying to pick these up one by one. We're literally picking up between a cup and a half, not a cup and a half, I'm sorry, a quarter of a cup and a half a cup of bugs a day inside the house. And, you know, you may see a few during the day when they come out. You sitting in your family room at night, you have the lights on, they like light. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, they're on your soda can, they're on the wall, all over the carpet. I mean, they're not going away. And even the ones that we get now will be coming out during the winter because they've gotten under the siding and they will go for heat. So cutting down the tree will solve a problem in the long term. It's not going to solve the problem for a while, and I don't expect it to. It's the longer-term problem that I'm worried about. What I'm really worried about is that the realtor will fire sale this house just to get rid of it, because as soon as somebody goes in there and sees all of these bugs, that price is going to go like that. And what's it going to do to the other property values? So,
okay.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. McCann.
It's already listed as is.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes, if you don't want to come forward.
As is, yes. So they already are anticipating that.
Good evening. My name is Tom Calavo. I live at 382 Colonial Circle. Fortunately, I'm one house removed from the house with the infested tree in the backyard. And my neighbors Chris and Jim made eloquent points about the problem that these bugs are in our neighborhood. And I'm sure with a little bit of thought, you've already realized that there is precedent for controlling another's actions, even on their own property. Think about the fact that we cannot burn leaves. Even if it's your own leaves in your own yard, we cannot burn those leaves for the good of all. And in our development, there are covenants controlling such harmless things as clotheslines and outdoor TV antennas. So there is a precedent there that, you know, that you can control another's actions if they're going to impact even remotely your enjoyment of your life and your property. So
let me ask you a question there, though. Are those acts of nature, though, or are those actions that are driven by humans?
Well, obviously the things I mentioned are human-driven, okay. But the concept is there that there can be limits and controls. It comes to my attention. This is only tangential to this. There's a tree in the park in Williamsburg there. The park faces Williamsburg Avenue. There's a tree in the far northwest corner of that park that is obviously a box elder tree. It's an old tree. It has total infestation also. There are large areas of these red bugs that are a foot and a half or so in diameter all along the trunk up 20 feet or so into that tree. That I'm not sure if the city can take any action on that. Now, that tree probably also impacts adjoining properties. There are single-family homes on one side, and there is the Brittany Court's apartment complex on the other. That's just sort of involved in the bug problem. It's another source. Now, I'm sure those bugs are not traveling the couple of blocks over into our part of the neighborhood, but they might be traveling to nearby residences that do face that tree. So that's just a point of information. I'm not sure if the city and the park district can take any action on that. But that's another situation that might be brought about by the unusually hot, dry summer that we've had this year. Maybe conditions are great for box elder bugs. I'm not sure. So I wanted to come out and support my neighbors and to see if there's something that the city council can do to help this problem, because it is not a good thing.
I think you all make good points, but I guess from the city's perspective then, do we take on the liability as it might relate to Japanese beetles? Or how about gypsy moths?
Well, I can't address the limits to other problems.
Well, you're asking us, though, to do that tonight, though. I'm just saying that I think you raise an excellent point here, and I can see where it's a real a real concern to the neighborhood, and obviously it's a tremendous inconvenience, and it affects your quality of life. But, I mean, I guess I raise the question, I guess I would be interested in what other cities have done as it relates to this topic. And I can see, though, that we could be looking at other insects, and which ones do we control or we interject ourselves with, and which ones don't we? So I guess I'm saying that, at least at this point in time, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't seem like there's an easy answer. But I would be interested in what any other council members might have to add.
One idea I have.
Thank you.
Ban box elder trees.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an easy thing to do or a hard thing to do, and if you've got a tree that's already been there for, I don't know how long these things live, that's a little different. But, you know, when you're building a new development or a new home.
But I wonder if box elder is on the approved listing of trees in the city of Geneva.
Something like that.
Okay.
Because I did I was looking on the internet while they were talking. Not that I wasn't paying attention. But every site that I hit on Google said not recommended for backyards.
Okay. Wonder
so
why.
Somebody went and put a box elder tree in his backyard. I don't know.
I think the chairman has a good point, clearly. But I think with moral suasion, Mr. Singer, Ms. Flanagan, myself, I mean, thank you for the copy of the flyer because it has the real estate agent's name. And if we can't convince the real estate agent through moral suasion that something should be done immediately, that's absolutely ridiculous. In my humble opinion.
I don't know that the answer is one that relates to insects or box elder bugs or things of that nature as much as addressing the issue of what is the purpose of the city as it relates to maintaining livability of its residents and as it relates to how one resident can then adversely affect
I think the short answer, Chris, is you need to deal with your neighbor. You don't have a neighbor. So we need to get involved, I think.
In some cases you can.
Exactly.
There are ordinances that sit there and say,
yes,
you know, if I went home today and took all four tires off my car and put them on cement blocks, I'm sure it would be minutes before somebody's there saying, you know what, you're screwing up the neighborhood. Fix it. And those are easy because they're quick, they're down and dirty. You can sit there and say, no cars up on blocks.
But the thing is, what you're describing, though, is a human decision's been involved there and not an act of nature.
But the failure of...
If you define it that narrowly, yes. But if you redefine it and say that the issue is one of a single property owner infringing on the property rights around them, then it's a different story. It goes back to how do you burn. If I'm burning and all of my smoke is going to the next-door neighbor, I'm infringing on...
That's why I got onto the tree itself. So Alderman Kilberg brought up Japanese beetles as an example.
Correct.
So in that situation, if you're plagued by Japanese beetles, you're going to be hard-pressed to identify the source. But in this situation with box elder bugs and a box elder tree right there, I think the source is fairly obvious. So to a certain extent, we can protect quality of life in a neighborhood by putting box elder trees on some list
of
endangered
species. Yeah.
You can't plant them in backyards.
Did I see a hand over here?
Yeah. So like when you talk about smoke from leaves, you can find the source very easily, right? When you talk about noise, you can find the source very easily. Or when you talk about the car up on blocks, you can find the source very easily. But if the source is bugs, and I'll use my own example. I lived in another town which we'll not name. And the house to the east of me went Section 8. And a month later, we had cockroaches. We'd lived there for 7 years, never had a bug. When we called, we were told, how do you know where they came from? You can't identify the source.
In that instance?
Well, in the instance of Japanese beetles or anything else. So I say go after the tree, and if you get rid of box elder trees, you'll curb the box elder bug problem, and that one at least won't plague you. Also, they're releasing the movie The Birds to theaters coming up. I think we could do one on box elder bugs.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The one thing I do hear you saying is you've identified the problem, and how does the city intervene to quickly as we intervene in so many other different things. And to me, the bottom line is we can only intervene on something we already have an ordinance. We you know what I mean? We can't just, because people would be calling us, obviously, for a lot of things. So it starts with the ordinance, then we enforce it. So we could work on that, but it really will be pretty much take us longer to create an ordinance than it will for them to come and cut the tree down that's scheduled. So that's all I was going to say is we have no way to prevent actions that we haven't identified that are unwanted. So that's why the city can't intervene really quickly and help you, because we don't have, and I was looking, almost no cities have them on box elders, interestingly enough. Ordinances against forcing homeowners to remove a tree because of box elders, stuff like that. But I'm just saying, you're going through the right process, and because you bring the problem, we discuss if there should be an ordinance, and then it can be enforceable for the next person,
And that's all we're looking for.
Yeah.
We know that you cannot do anything for this outside of what you're offering.
Which I think is great. Any kind of residences that are managed or, foreclosed on are a problem because, like the mayor said, go talk to your neighbor. There is no neighbor. So we need, I think, having the realtor be accountable, if possible, at least as a resource, is a good step.
I know that we have contacted realtors in the past, especially when, for instance, grass has gotten excessively long. There are instances where we've interjected ourselves. But those are provided for in our ordinance. Mm-hmm. This is not. I'm sorry, Alderman Cummings.
Chairman, I was looking. I learned more about box elder bugs in the last 20 minutes than yeah. I ever wanted to know. University of California and University of Pennsylvania, or Penn State, don't want to mix those two up, have all sorts of recommendations. Chemicals don't work for them. Birds don't eat them. Nothing will eat them. If you crush them, they smell. They swarm. Both Kane County and Geneva seem to have infestation ordinances. Kane County calls injurious insects infestation a situation that they can react to, whether it's in a house. They don't provide an all-inclusive list of the insects. They simply talk about injurious insect infestation. Geneva doesn't define infestation as Geneva also talks about injurious insects, the obvious one being the emerald ash borer, but we may have some flexibility. I don't know that we don't.
We've asked Ms. McKittrick on how we can approach it.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to to speak to what I know, too, and I've been looking at as well, and I did research our code as well to see if that could accommodate the request. And it refers also to the Department of Agriculture and another agency declaring pests as nuisances, such as the emerald ash borer. And they're talking in the code about the destruction of the tree, that the tree is dying, that it's harmful to the tree. Mr. Forney, our code enforcement officer, did go out to the property, and although it is private property, he did go on site and look at the tree and said that he himself could not say that the tree was dying. The leaves may be eaten, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's harmful to the tree. And if the neighbors are saying that this, that the bugs are there every year, they've been treated with the soap solution, obviously they've been controlled, but it doesn't appear that they've been harmful to the tree itself. So it's not a case where the bugs are harmful to the tree or harmful to properties or harmful to humans. They're annoying, they're nuisances, but, you know, we called the extension office as well, and I think Alderman Singer also met with them, and I think that that's what they told him as well. They may be annoying and nuisances, but they're not harmful bugs. They don't eat cloth. They don't eat wood. You're right, if they're smashed, they may leave a stain. Excrement may leave a stain, but they themselves do not eat materials as far as your siding or, you know, the frame of your home and so on and so forth. The extension office also said that it may be cyclical. Maybe for some reason the recent strange weather conditions have had an effect, you know, and as you said also, the non-treatment of the tree, you know, probably, most likely, also has an effect on it. One of the things that we have to remember, there's a difference between home rule communities, and I can see the council's eyes already rolling because they hear me say this all the time. There's a difference in the authority that we have as a non-home rule community. In the state of Illinois, non-home rule communities are restricted to some degree to the authority that we have. If it is not specifically called out in the state statutes, we can't assume to have that authority. As a home rule community, we can make up and design laws and policies that we believe are for the betterment of the quality of life of our community, unless, of course, it's in conflict with state law. We can't override state law, or it can't be in conflict with that. But we, as a non-home rule, are very limited. So that's why when we're talking about the infestation of trees, we're talking about it being harmful to the life of that tree, or we're talking about, in other cases, it being harmful to the safety and the welfare of the public. Those kinds of authorities we do have. But as a non-home rule community, in this case, I do not believe that we have the authority to go on to private property to cut this tree down because it is an annoyance as opposed to a public safety issue. And again, that's just my take on knowing municipal government, having worked in it for 27 years and having read the state statutes and the city code. I do believe that the mayor's approach to talking to the realtor.
We have an update, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Is probably most effective, as well as our Kane County Health Department.
The realtor just called me, and she said that there's a 95% probability that they will be out at the house tomorrow to kill the bugs that are on site, and they will be removing the trees. They are looking for a second bid to do so. I promised the realtor that we would make some calls to folks who have provided tree services to our community to see if they can expedite that. As long as wind conditions are appropriate, they will be there tomorrow to spray and kill. They did, however, and apparently they shared this with you, that immediately upon removal of the tree, sometimes the infestation gets worse temporarily, and then it all goes away. So as long as it's not windy, we'll be there tomorrow. I promised Kim that I would call her tomorrow morning just for a status update. I'll be working from home, so if you'd like, I'll swing by and stand over at Mr. Singer's yard.
If I may make a comment, one of the things I don't want to have happen as a result of this, and Alderman Singer asked me this up front, I don't want any tax money spent on this. This is private property.
Oh, yeah.
I am not interested in using tax dollars to fix this problem. All it means is everybody's taxes go up, and I can tell them that. Okay. But what we do want is some type of relief that is faster than reports. And when you're talking about injurious infestation, rotting carcasses and fecal matter and all the rest of that stuff, by the tens of thousands, not hundreds, but tens of thousands, getting up under your siding and in your eaves and in your and all the rest of that stuff. I don't know how injurious infestation could not be part of the conversation. Why would you take those ordinances? Because even when this goes away tomorrow, and this is the real kick to this whole thing, to get rid of the tree tomorrow, everything is great. I have to clean my house.
Right. No question.
How do I go after that? How do I make that happen? If there is an ordinance on the book that makes it very easy to enforce all of this,
but that's all right.
If not, it's courts and laws and time and all kinds of things that are just not fun to cost everybody money that usually end up resulting in
spring and we got another 100 million of these things, and I'm only exaggerating by 10%, but, you know, if we have to start this whole process all over again, the tree is gone and everybody's going, oh well, it's not oh well. There's a dozen homes now that potentially, on a worst case basis, are ripping down siding and tearing into attics and taking out insulation and all of that stuff. I don't know that needs to happen, but if you start from the worst case scenario and work your way backwards, and you want to be able to cover all of those conditions that are potential, and if injurious infestation does that, I'm all for it.
I think if we begin at the beginning, then we'll just take one step at a time, and hopefully tomorrow's a calm day. And so you have my number. Text me whenever it's best, or we'll exchange numbers tonight, and I'll keep you.
Did you make any indication that you can treat anybody else's property?
No. But, again, we're talking again tomorrow. So, okay. So I did not ask that question, though, either. So.
I will.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Alderman Singer.
Thomas, to clarify an issue regarding the infestation of the tree over in Williamsburg Park, I was not aware of that issue. However, that is a park district issue, so those people would be responsible for removal of that infestation.
But we can tell them about it.
Yes, we certainly can. I think we will do that.
Okay.
I just have a question.
We'll let Dorothy, and then we'll go to you, Don.
Do you know of any others in that area other than the one that you pointed out in Williamsburg? And
we weren't even aware there was an additional tree.
Okay.
And since he already knows what the bugs look like, he
kind of followed the bugs, I guess.
Thomas doesn't walk.
Okay,
he runs.
I do feel bad.
These things fly. So they fly from one
Island. Yeah, they do. I had a tree up there.
Thank you.
Alderman Cummings.
Real short, both University of California and University of Pennsylvania both say that if you cut down one tree, the bugs will likely find a tree within a mile and go to that tree. So the one in Williamsburg may be even more heavily infested shortly.
But it's the same tree.
They should leave a forewarning address, is that what you said? Okay.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
No, I think it was some good discussion. I'm sorry, Alderman
Hill. Just a question. Is that tree in Williamsburg Park, is that what it is located in Williamsburg Park?
Yes.
Is that on Park District property? Who owns that?
Park District.
Park District does, for sure? Are we sure of that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fine. Well, they should be contacted. Have you contacted anybody at the Park District?
No, I brought it to your attention tonight. It's
okay.
I'll call Siobhan for you tomorrow.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
Well, go call until we cut the tree down in the backyard. Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other new business then to come before the council this evening? If not, just a few meetings that we'll have here in September. On the 17th, we'll have a regular council meeting. Committee of the Whole will meet on September 24th, and the council will have a special training session on 9/20 for Open Meetings Act. Is that correct? Pardon me? Ethics training. Okay.
Time, is that 6 p.m.? Is that I have it?
I have that.
Buy for food, right?
Okay.
Well, I won't be late.
Is there anything else that anyone would like to bring forward? If not, is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Mark, seconded by Singer. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We stand adjourned. Thank you.